Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, IMS HAL-DB Toolkit, Managing Your HAL-DB Database Without DBRC. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. One note that today's call is being recorded. In this teleconference, you'll learn that you can use IMS HAL-DB Toolkit to manage your HAL-DB environment. The speaker for today's teleconference is Janet LeBlanc, IMS Tools Consultant, IMS Tools Development, Silicon Valley Laboratory. Christian Copen, Product Developer, PEC Software, will also be joining us for the question and answer session. At this time, I'd like to hand the conference over to our speaker, Janet LeBlanc.
Good morning, everyone. Today I'm going to be talking about HAL-DB and how we can implement HAL-DB with all the constraints and problems that we've discovered as this new feature of IMS has progressed. One of the major areas of problems with HAL-DB has been how do you manage your test environments. So we're going to cover quite a bit in that area. So if we move to the second slide, the agenda today, As you can see, I will be starting and focusing a large amount of my time on those test environments. Followed by that, we'll review some of the other challenges, for example, dealing with initial loads of HAL-DB databases. And then after that, we're going to talk about some of the neat things that we can do in an application program because we have partitioning in our HAL-DB databases. From there, we'll talk a little bit about how we can do maintenance for our HAL-DB databases, finding and resolving problems. And very lastly, we'll talk a little bit about the features in the product that will assist you with migration to HAL-DB. So now moving to the third slide, HAL-DB overview. With IMS version 7, we came out with HAL-DB. And that allowed us to be able to partition our databases. We're allowed up to 1,001 partitions per databases, and partitions can have up to 10 dataset groups. Each of these partitions can be allocated, authorized, and reorganized independently. And this gave us a lot of flexibility, and it allowed us to be able to increase our availability of our HAL-DB databases because we were able to address maintenance at the partition level while leaving the rest of the database in active update mode. The types of databases that are available with HAL-DB are the partitioned HDAM and the partitioned HIDAM and partitioned secondary indexes. One of the things that we delivered with HAL-DB was a concept of self-healing pointers. This meant that when we do a reorganization of a partition, we do not have to make any changes to the secondary indexes or the logically related databases. This, again, reduces the amount of time that we need to take away from the database in order to do reorganization or other maintenance. Moving to slide 4, we'll now talk a little bit about testing databases. When we look at non-HAL-DB databases, so our full function databases that we are currently using in our production and test environments, in the test environment, traditionally, they were not registered in recons. Normally, DBRC was not in use in the test environment. That flexibility allowed every programmer to have one or more versions of a database to do testing with. Depending on how many programmers were in a shop, this meant there was a very large quantity of copies of databases in the testing environment. With the introduction of HAL-DB, came the requirement to register HAL-DB databases in the recons. This raised a potential issue in the area of testing. First of all, multiple versions of a database had to be defined in different recons. because DBRC didn't allow multiple databases with the same name. So therefore, in order to have multiple test versions of a database, that required multiple recons. In order to do this with these constraints, you had to plan very carefully your batch test environments. A lot of the issues came because programmers had no knowledge or understanding of the recons. Responsibility for production recons were normally in the DBAs and system programmers' hands. So in order to give a programmer the same kind of flexibility that they currently had with non-HALDB, we would have had to provide them with multiple sets of recons, and they would have had to learn all of the commands necessary in the recons to be able to turn parameters on and off in the recons. Now moving to slide 5, what this means is that in order to define test environments, first of all, they would have to use the same DBD as production. That DBD doesn't use partition or data set information, and place that in the DBD lib and the ACB lib. Then it was necessary to create test partition definitions for the test environments. Or they could use the partition definition utility export and import functions. And that will move partition definitions between recons. After it's been transposed to the test recon environment, they could then be modified. Things such as your data set name, prefix, root addressable area, etc. All the kinds of things that normally would be different from production to test. Now moving to slide 6, I'm going to take a look at how we would go about doing transportation of a database to a different IMS. So I have perhaps a production environment, or maybe I have a master test environment. So a number of ways I could approach moving this copy from one test environment to the other. One might be using unload and reload. Another is doing an application load. I may have some specific test cases that I want to be able to load into my database so that I can test out certain functions in my application program. The third, and quite commonly used, is doing an image copy recovery strategy. The next would be using DFDSS to be able to make another copy. Now let's look at these one by one. Moving first to slide 7, titled HALDB and DBRC. So now we're going to transport a database to a different IMS using unload and reload. So what that would mean is I need to first redefine my partition definition in the target recon. And that partition definition may be a little different. I'm going to have to do a reset of my IOK, assuming that this database copy is going to be permanent. Now with HALDB Toolkit, we offer you some utilities that can assist if this is the method you want to choose. The first is to do a copy of that partition definition. In the HALDB Toolkit utility, I would use control statements to do a copy DBRC, specify my DBD. Next control statement, include index, yes. The one after that is if I want to include my image copies. Do I want to pull the definition of the existing image copies from the source recon? And then specifying the DD statements for the target recons. Using the same utility but with a different control statement, have the ability to do a reset ILK, which will reset my unload data set. Moving to slide 8. Now, if I want to use an application program with a load PSB and be able to load data that I have stored in a flat file, I don't have any ILK problems, but I still have to deal with the issue of creating a copy of my partition definition. So the same copy DBRC command that we saw on the previous slide would also be used. In addition, we offer some HowDB load support to help improve the performance of the secondary index updates. Now let's move to slide 9 and look at how we would approach this if we wanted to use image copy recovery strategy. Again, we need to, the partition definition has to be identical. The target DBRC must have deleted partitions. The image copy DBRC definition also has to be moved. We need to change the dataset name prefix, and we need to allocate new target datasets. Now, HowDB Toolkit offers both in a batch and a ISPF mode a way of being able to get this set up for you. So I'm showing here on this screen a sample of the ISPF screen. On this screen, I have the option to be able to include my secondary indexes. I can specify the new dataset name prefix and then have it create the ID cams for the new datasets. Moving to slide 10, if I want to use DFDSS, this will work very similarly to the image copy. The target recons, again, must reflect any deleted partitions, and the database must be DBR'd. HowDB Toolkit will give you the capability of creating the partition definition for the target recons and create the necessary DFDSS commands in order to make the copy. Now let's look at slide 11. One of the issues that we had discussed was that if we are using DBRC in a test environment and we don't want to offer our programmers the capability of everyone having their own set of recons, we need to give them an easy way to accomplish this, understanding that most programmers have no real knowledge of the recons. So one strategy that can be taken is to give that capability of creating a test set of recons, transporting the control statements necessary to establish their database environment within those recons, and then allowing them to do the testing that they would like to do. So what I have on this screen, HowDB and DBRC test databases, is a copy of the JCL that's necessary to do this. This set of JCL would be put in front of their job step where they're doing their test. And that way, it's reestablished every single time they do a test run, and they are not having to worry about manipulating or maintaining a set of recons. The first step is doing the delete and define of the data sets for the recons. The second step is copying the DBRC specifications from a source set of recons, which could be a production environment, or it could be a master test recon that is maintained by the DBAs. And then the third step is where we take the data that was extracted from the source recons and then update the programmer's own set of recons. So in this way, the recons will be rebuilt every time they're running a test. This gives one avenue that could be considered for a solution for the necessity of having recons for HowDB. Now moving to slide 12, another strategy that is not really ideal, but is certainly something that might be considered perhaps in a smaller shop, and that would be where you would have only one recon for your entire test environment. The problem with this approach is that you need to be able to manage who is testing and be able to manage with the database status in DBRC. While this is one approach that could be taken, everything that we are hearing from our application groups in IMS is that a solution better than this is required. So moving to slide 13, look at another strategy that can be taken. HowDB Toolkit has a new feature that's being added. This will be available in second quarter 2009. It is currently under test at a number of customer sites. What this will allow you to do is simulate not having DBRC. So simulating you have a DBRC equals no environment for your test environment. There does need to be a master set of recons which will hold the HowDB definition. So it will hold things such as the partition names, numbers, key ranges, and file attributes. From there, they can specify what prefix they're going to substitute for the dataset names. In this way, every programmer can have their own database datasets and as many as they would like. This will support batch applications, and the rules that we have for defining the prefix can be specified either via an ISPF interface or a batch update utility. Any flags in DBRC will be ignored when they're running their programs, doing their tests. And in this way, they can still process a HowDB partition when an image copy flag is needed, for example. Now moving to this next slide, slide 14, here is the screen that would be used to be able to specify the prefix. First of all, our first option is whether or not this intercept feature is active and whether or not a prefix will be substituted. If a prefix is being substituted, what the rules are. Whether the rules should be at the system level, user level, or the DBD level. Then below that we have our creation rules. What is the basis of the prefix for the data set? What the system, IMSP in this example, what the high level qualifier would be, what rule you want to have in place in order to construct the prefix. In this example, we're saying that we want the rule that it's going to use the high-level qualifier, so the data that's in there, dbsms.ckihc, followed by the DBD. Beside that line are what potentially could be used, high-level qualifier, system, user, DBD, or part. The last line on this screen is result. And what that is going to show you is you have put these rules in place. This is what a data set would look like. And in that way, you can confirm that your understanding matches with what you want to have shown. This will allow your programmers to have as many test environments as they choose. They'll also have no limit in that way on the number of application programmers that are using your test environment. And you'll only have to maintain one set of recons. Moving to slide 15. One of the other issues with DBRC is that if we're making changes in DBRC, that we need to be able to have the potential of backing it up. If I'm making a large number of changes, perhaps to my partitions, to my keys, potentially I might need to be able to have the ability to fall back. With HowDB Toolkit, we introduce the ability to do a backup of specific definitions. So not copying the entire recons, but I'm copying the specifications for a specific database, allowing me to be able to put things back if I need to. If I have to, for example, kill a database and then I realize perhaps I killed the wrong one, I still have the ability to put the definitions back and the image copy information. So moving to slide 16, we're now going to start taking a look at applications. We talk a lot about applications being the reason that we don't want to go to HowlDB, that the difficulty of testing impacts it. But there are some pluses to going to HowlDB for applications, some additional flexibility of using the partitions at the partition level from an application point of view that can provide some interesting performance benefits. So let's look at slide 17. Let's take a look at when we're looking at load programs. So this would be a program that's using a load PSB. The first step is that they're going to create the file read by the load program. The load program would read through that entire file and update the database. With HowlDB, we have another option. We can split our file that's read by the load program and create a separate file for each partition and then run our load programs in parallel, loading each partition individually. In order to accomplish this, I have not had to change that load program, so there's no coding changes, just JCL changes, and just increased performance. Slide 18. With HowlDB Toolkit, we provide a utility that will allow you to easily split an existing onload file. So in that way, you don't even have to worry about changing the program that's producing the input for a load. Moving to slide 19. When we're looking at program loads, if we have secondary indexes, we can also have some issues. The initial load of a database with secondary indexes will at the same time create those secondary indexes. The index partitions do have to be initialized before the load, and you have to make sure that the step includes buffer pools for the indexes, not just the data. The initial loads will not create entries in the ILDS. And optionally, if you choose to, you can delay the building of the secondary indexes during the load by specifying a parameter in DFS vSAMP. Looking at the sample at the bottom here, that shows up on the second line. The BLDSNDX equals no. In that way, if you choose, you can then run a tool such as Index Builder to build the indexes afterwards if you don't want to impact the performance of the program load. Looking at the next slide, slide 20, if we're dealing with program loads with logical relationships, it gets a little complicated. You need to execute the pre-reorg utility to initialize the partitions in the first database and also execute the pre-reorg to initialize the partitions in the second database. You execute the initial load for the first database, DBX, but you do not load the logical children. Because we're dealing with HowlDB, a work file is not created. We execute the load application for the second, the DBY, and again, we do not load the logical children. And again, the program will not create a work file. It's then necessary to execute an update application program for a logical database, and then inserting either the logical children, LC1 or LC2, but not both. This can be quite complex in order to manage a program load with logical relationships, and it has frequently been one of the reasons that this has been avoided. Looking at slide 21, HALDB Toolkit offers some support. If you're loading a logically related database, the tool will delay the inserts, and they will be written to a WorkFile 1 dataset. After the loads have been completed, we'll reuse our prefix resolution and prefix update utilities and allow us to be able to read those WorkFile 1s and update the two databases. Moving to slide 22, one of the advantages I previously mentioned for applications programs when they're dealing with HALDB is the fact that they can choose to target a specific HALDB partition. In order to do that, they have to add a control statement to their JCL, DFS HALDB DD, and in that, they need to specify which partition or range of partitions they need to be able to access. The challenge for an application programmer, however, is that they need to know what the key ranges are of the partitions. And if they make the assumption that the key range is static, that it's not going to change, they can run into trouble. The reality is HALDB partitioning, once it's set, is not a constant. A partition can grow at very large rates, while other partitions aren't growing at all. And the DBAs are in the situation of having to split a partition, or may, for other reasons, choose to merge partitions. So we don't want to have the situation where we have to change application programming because we've changed our partitioning scheme. Moving to slide 23, we offer a capability of finding out for the application what partition a key range is. If they specify this step prior to their application run, they'll have that HALDB statement generated for them. Moving to slide 24. The other issue I mentioned was what happens if the partitions change. One of the capabilities that we offer for application support is the ability to find out what partition a specific key would be in, and the Partition Selection API offers that support. I'm going to slide 25. So now let's take a look at the different functions that we need to be able to maintain our HALDB databases. On slide 26, the things we'll be looking at is, for example, we'll be deleting a partition, merging two DBDs into one DBD, changing partition boundaries, healing our index pointers, reorganizing our secondary indexes, and doing all of this online without taking our database offline. So first of all, on slide 27, if we need to be able to delete a partition, it's as simple as adding in this control statement into the HALDB utility, reorg IND DBD, and then drop PHD022. And then I'll have that partition dropped. On slide 28, if I want to merge two DBDs into a single DBD, again using the same utility, this time with a control statement HowDB copy from DBD to DBD. And at the end, I'll have all of the partitions for the two DBDs merged together. On slide 29, some examples of the types of scenarios we could use. For example, looking down this list, if I wanted to, on the second line, if I wanted to consolidate all my partitions into one partition using one key, using the command statement maintain the DBD and partition and with my high-level key. On the next line, if I wanted to split my partition into two partitions, again, maintain DBD, partition the partition I'd like to do the split, and part num 2 says I want to split it into two partitions. If I had part num 4, I would get four partitions. But sometimes it's not a case of you're knowing exactly how many partitions. It might be how large you want them to be and that you don't care how many partitions that actually means. The next example covers that, where I want to split a partition into 2048 size partitions using part size. So instead of part num, I now introduce the keyword part size 2048. And it will add however many partitions are needed to accomplish that. Moving to slide 30. All of these maintenance functions can be done online. In order to use the online feature that comes with HowDB Toolkit, you also need to have a license to online reorg facility, as the two together will allow you to be able to do this, all these changes to databases with minor interruption. On slide 31, some additional functions that allow us to be able to do some maintenance, and that is the HEAL secondary index. After we've done a reorg, secondary indexes do not need to have their entries updated. The information in the ILDS will allow for gradual healing of these secondary indexes. However, for performance reasons, many people feel that they would like to have their secondary indexes healed and have all the valid values recorded in those secondary indexing. Using the HowDB Toolkit utility, we have the, and using the keyword pointer heal with, followed by the DBD name, will allow for all of the secondary indexes in that database to be healed. And that way, we won't have any performance impact when we start using the secondary indexes. On slide 32, also the ability to reorganize our secondary index. This allows us to be able to reclaim space, reclaim our split indexes, remove deleted index records, and remove index records for a dropped primary partition. In order to be able to do this function, the control statement is reorg IND followed by the DBD. And looking at slide 33. Take a look at production health. We have some differing issues that we need to deal with HowDB that's different from our other full function databases. On slide 34, as was mentioned early on, pointers for a HowDB database are self-healing. The key of the target has the root for the secondary indexes. Logical parents have concatenated keys for logical relationships, and this is used to determine what partition in which a target resides. There's an extended pointer set that has the RBA of the target when it was last known, a reorganization number of the target partition. This allows IMS to determine whether or not the RBA pointer is accurate. The indirect list key for the target segment, it's used when the RBA pointer is not still accurate. All the other pointers are unchanged from non-HowDB databases and still need to be concerned with. On slide 35, when we're looking at the ILDS, there's one KSDS per partition. And this ILDS will contain the correct RBA pointer to each secondary index or logical relationship. The entries in the ILDS are created and updated by a reorg. The key for an entry is an ILK, an indirect list key, associated with each of the target segments. Segments that don't have targets of secondary indexes or logical relationships will not have entries. And the ILDS is what is used when the reorg number in a logical relationship or secondary index is out of date. So this is where I have not done a healing of my secondary index, and I've gone in to try to use a pointer, but the reorg number is older than the most recent reorg. So on slide 36, we have a diagram that's showing how this works. So if the partition ID in the EPS is correct and the reorg number in the EPS matches the reorg number in the partition, we will use this RBA value. Otherwise, we will have to go to the ILDS and use the key to find the ILE and use the ILE's RBA. On slide 37, what we've introduced with HowDB Toolkit is a health checker. And it's threshold parameter driven so that you can determine whether or not there's an issue that you need to be concerned about. You have the ability to set low and high values. Low will warn about a approaching problem. High, indicating that the problem is urgent. Also have the ability to do an ILK verification. On slide 38 is an example of health checker parameters allowing you to be able to have the HowDB thoroughly checked for HowDB unique type issues. On slide 39, this utility does run very fast. It will do up to 8 data sets at the same time. And you can choose to have the verifications of your ILK and ILE turned off. It allows you to provide for decision support on partition maintenance, recommendations on whether or not you should be combining, splitting, or rearranging your partitions, and helping with the adjustment of randomizing parameters for partitions. On slide 40, so some of the issues that could be coming up, for example, you could have a partition that's too big. The solution to that would be to split the partition or rearrange with others. And as you saw on earlier slides, we offer the utilities to help you accomplish that. Pointer healing, running the heal pointer utility or rebuild the indexes. Missing ILEs. Need to be able to either rebuild the indexes, reorg the partitions, or rebuild the ILDS. On slide 41, if we come up with invalid or duplicate ILKs, need to use the ILK reset tool. Or we can do a reload of the database with a procop load and delay the index build. If we find that we have a root in the wrong partition, it's possible that there's an invalid problem in the application, need to review with them, or we may need to reorg the entire database. On slide 42, I have an example of the ILK reset, which allows us to resolve conflicting ILKs, fixing the invalid ones or duplicate, and should be run any time that the HowDB analyzer detects the invalid ILKs. It works against an unload file, so you first need to be able to do an unload, run the utility against that unload file, and then reload the database. Now, looking at slide 43, we're going to now move on to actual migration to HowDB. On slide 44, if we're doing conversion to HowDB, HowDB Toolkit will do it all for you. It can be run in either batch or ISPF. The ISPF interface is designed to be able to assist with the migration in a manner that means the DBA who's doing this work doesn't need to have very much knowledge about HowDB, nor do they have to have any true understanding of DBD coding. It will find the partition boundaries, convert to DBD, do the DBRC work, calculate and allocate the new files, run all of the utilities, and it can handle all of the standard full function database, HDAM and HiDAM, and in addition can also handle converting from ShySAM, HiSAM, DDBs, and PDB or PDF. In addition, one of the big issues that we've seen with people trying to move to HowDB is the lack of time. IMS is a very high-performing database. And for that reason, it's been used in the most critical applications in companies. Because they are the most critical applications, they are frequently up 24/7. Therefore, it has been very difficult to obtain the downtime necessary to do a conversion to HowDB. We now have the capability, while using Online Reorg Facility and HowDB Toolkit together, to be able to do the conversion during an update period. This requires an extremely short downtime at the end of the process in order to be able to do the swapping of data sets. But during the bulk of the conversion, the database will be fully available. On slide 45, the convert command, where we specify if I'm doing this via batch, convert DBD, the partition names, appended with the DBD name, the part size, part number, keys, has a takeover concept, as I mentioned with the online. All the data set names are new, so we don't have to worry about renames. It'll activate only if the conversion is successful. During the conversion, it will use temporary recons, and the recon notification will be delayed. Then activate the change DBD. On slide 46, additional parameters for the convert. You can choose to at the same time make some other decisions for changes during this conversion. You can move, for example, back to one data set group frequently in order to be able to maximize the space available for a full function database as we're approaching limits. You may have moved to where you were using multiple data set groups. This is a good opportunity to think about moving back to a single data set group. Another option is moving from vSAM to OSAM. There's been a number of IMS tests that have proven that performance is much higher for OSAM than vSAM. So this would give you an additional opportunity. Changing your HDAM randomizing parameters or SMS constructs. Also, some backup options, being able to back up your DBD, DBRC settings, and data set allocations. Moving to slide 47, in summary, HALDB Toolkit offers an extremely robust, complete solution for handling your HALDBs, offering application support, as we discussed, test environment support, handling all your DBRC, cloning, copying, allowing DBRC equals no, the area of HALDB maintenance, reorganizing your secondary indexes, consolidating or splitting partitions, healing pointers, loading a single partition, deleting a single partition, merging, adding empty partitions, analysis tool to help you determine what needs to be changed to get optimum performance, conversion to HALDB, and system utilities. Moving to slide 48, at this point, I'd like to open for questions. With me today, I have Christian Copen. Christian is our lead developer for this product, and he's more than happy to answer any questions you may have. So I'll turn this over at this time.
Thank you, Janet. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live question and answer session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Here we go. Question one, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's conference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. And we'll pause for just a moment. Question two, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. And once again, we'll pause. For question 3, what version of IMS are you currently on? If version 10, press star 1. If version 9, press star 2. If version 8, press star 3. If version 7 and below, press star 4. And once again, we'll pause. For question 4, for those not on IMS 10, what is your planned use of IMS 10? If you plan to install IMS 10 in the next 6 to 12 months, press star 1. If you are not interested in moving to IMS 10 within the next 2 years, press star 2. If you are not interested in IMS 10 at this point, press star 3. And we'll pause one last time before our final question. And our final question today, we hope that you have enjoyed the teleconference. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And that does conclude our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at this time. And once again, that is star 1 if you have a question or comment today. And we'll go first to Ronnie Park with Neon Enterprise.
Yes, I had a question about the OSAM. Well, the new version of, will IMS 10 allow you to go to 8 gig on a HALDB database partition if you use OSAM?
The answer is no.
Okay.
HALDB does not support 8 gig. This low order bit is used for something else.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And as a final reminder, it is star 1, please. And at this time, there are no further questions. Ms. LeBlanc, I'll turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and I hope that we'll hear from you soon on future calls that we have on IMS topics.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. Have a great rest of your day.